think that's what I put down. Yeah, 1 through 3. Okay. I'm reading from the New International Version. Here's what it says. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mentioning you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read that third verse again. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Drop down to verse number 6, if you would. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here's what I want to talk about this morning: how to know you're on track. How to know that you're on track. The Church of Thessalonica was a church established by Paul. Timothy and Silas helped him. I think it's Acts chapter 17 in the second missionary journey, where as they were traveling through, they saw a vision, and somebody over in Macedonia was waving and beckoning. And they said, come on over, give us a hand, come on over. And so they went to Thessalonica, being led by the Spirit, and there they preached the word of God and taught the word of God and established the church. Paul is in Corinth now. He had to hang there a while because y'all know how rough Corinth was. If you hadn't been to Sunday school in a while, you'll know it was Vegas, New Orleans, New York, San Francisco, all rolled into one. And Paul was there doing a great work, establishing that awesome church in Corinth. Because it's not really about what you were like when we started, because we all know what we were like when we were started. But it's the joy of growing and maturing in the Lord. From Corinth, he writes to the Thessalonians. Timothy had been there and had visited Paul, and now Paul gets a report from Timothy. Paul's excited about what he heard, and then sends this letter back to the Thessalonians to share and celebrate with them. Isaac Newton, 1686, he had this first law of motion. And in that law of motion, he said that an object is going to remain where it is and like it is until it's acted upon by another force. It's going to stay just like it is until acted upon by another force. They call that this law of motion, which means this microphone stand is going to stay right there. And ain't nothing going to happen to it unless it's acted upon by another force. It's going to remain there. Now, if I put my hands on it and lifts it, that becomes the force that allows it to do something different. And that law of motion works a whole lot of ways. For instance, if you mean, that person's gonna remain mean until acted upon by another motion. If a person's lost, they're gonna remain lost until acted upon by another motion. If a car's rolling at 60 miles an hour, it's gonna remain moving that way unless you take your foot off the gas, but it is affected by friction, and it's affected by the terrain. If you go uphill, it's gonna slow down. If you go downhill, it might speed up. But the point is, this thing's going to, and here's what we know. It takes more energy to get it moving than it does to keep it moving. John Bush is one of our retired railroad guys, and we have another brother, Harold, and then we've got an electrician in the back, and I know y'all probably wonder what in the world do you need an electrician for on a diesel engine. I'll tell you before I finish. But here's what I learned, and they know well. It takes a whole lot more energy to get a train moving than it does to keep it moving. Matter of fact, you, if you've ever been near a train when it starts and you hear all of that noise, banging, it's because the cars don't all move at the same time. Matter of fact, if you look real closely, you'll discover that at the beginning, the diesel engine, it moves, and you got a couple of bangs, then the cars behind it, and then it moves, and then chronologically, they all begin to move together, but they don't always move at the same time. Matter of fact, it'd be very difficult for all of them to move at the same time from the start because that would take so much energy. All I'm trying to tell you is it takes a whole lot more energy to get started than it does to keep you moving. If you've been around a few decades, it slipped up on you before you knew it. Because you've been sitting a while. You done sat all the way through Colombo. Now you want some more tea and want to make a stop down the hall. And before you know it, you don't just jump up. Ain't that right, Bobby? It takes some thought. It takes some energy. For some of us, it takes some rocking. Because it takes more energy to get started than it does to keep you going. Paul writes this letter because he's trying to provide a little more energy. He's trying to energize and encourage the people to keep moving in the way that they're moving. And we get the benefit of learning. We get the benefit of learning. It's a few chapters. We can't preach all of it. But I do want to share from this text today. There's some things that I see that Paul celebrates in the life of the church of Thessalonica that helps and would help us in every congregation. It would help them to know if they're on track and moving in a good direction. And here's the three things he celebrates in verse number 3. He says, one way to know that you're on track. He says, we remember before God our Father, here's the first one, a work produced by faith. One way you'll know you're on track is that you're working by faith. Y'all, the truth is, without faith, Hebrews says that it is absolutely impossible to please God. Because God is expecting us to believe, to have faith, confidence, and trust in Him, first of all. And nobody has seen God at any time. Now we get some poetic people, and they say, I see God in the trees. No, you see a work of God. I see God in the sun. Oh, that sounds poetic and all of that, but no, that's something created by God. And I get the idea. It's the idea of wanting. But see, there's an issue. It's been since time, almost since the beginning of time, ever since Satan rose up and the angels fell, and then man, some chose God, some didn't. One of the ongoing arguments that has been going down through the centuries, even for the people of God, is that the people that don't know God can't understand how the people who know God believe in God, because He's a God you can't see. And their issue is, show us your God. And so that's why you have these individuals, especially in the Old Testament, sometimes even in the New, where people are making their own gods and shaping their own images, because there's some people that got to see it before they can believe it. But the God we serve is commanded to you and me that we are to work, we are to believe that He is, and that we are to work by faith. And so there's some things that we work, there's some ways that we serve, there's some things that we do, but we do it believing in the God we can't see, that He is going and will bring it to pass. And here's what I know a work of faith will do. A work of faith, number one, a work of faith, it'll stretch you. It'll stretch you. A real work of faith will stretch you. It'll have you thinking. It'll have you thinking, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can. But I'm telling you what, it'll stretch you. A work of faith will cause you to go beyond what you have normally done. It will stretch you, and that's a good thing. That's a great thing. Getting stretched sometimes is a great thing, because what it does is, when all is said and done, it gives you another testimony to actually, so that you can turn around and say, wow, I didn't think I was going to be able to do it, but I did it. And when you did it, it'll give you another reason to serve, celebrate, and give God glory. One of my beloved brothers changed careers he'd been in one place a long time, and he was doing something that it's like being self-employed. And it's a hard job. It's a tough job. And yet, he got at it and worked really hard. And every realtor, when you reach $1 million, that's one of the goals that says. And he came to me one day to celebrate, Pastor, I made it. I reached $1 million in sales. I said, all right. I said, but you're going to do more than that. And man, I hurt his feelings. He said, you mean to tell me that's all you're going to say? And I said, I mean, yeah, I know they say $1 million. But you got a whole lot more in you than that. And I know he was thinking some things under his breath. But a couple of years later, he went to 6. Uh-huh. Then another year he went to, what was it, 10? Yeah. Uh-huh. He was celebrating one, and I was celebrating the day he'd go much further. Because every now and then, when you are working for the Lord, he's gone. When the last time God and if you haven't been stretched lately, I would invite you to ask him. I love preaching to y'all. Because here's what stretching will do. The work of faith, it will stretch you, but the joy of it is the fact that you can see it before you can see it. Not everybody can see it, but God will let you see it before folk can see it. And Paul is celebrating the fact that these people of God, most of them were Gentiles that turned to the Lord with wicked surroundings, sinfulness all around them, but yet they did awesome works by faith. Here's the second thing he said: you celebrate your work by faith, but your labor by love. What will make you stretch out to your breaking point? Paul said, I know at the core the reason you did it was because of love. Because the truth is, there's some stuff you don't have to do. There's some stuff you don't want to do, but you do it anyway. And sometimes you do it, if the truth be told, the only reason you do it is because of love. Wait a minute, that's too broad. Let me do it like this. Love for God's people. Love for God's people. And I got to tell you something, loving God's people ain't always easy. Loving God's people will make you talk to God sometime about his people. Remember that time Moses says, "Your people." These are your people. But just because it's difficult loving God's people, God ain't gonna change the assignment just because it's hard to love them. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point because it's really not an option. But much of the work of faith has been done. It's labored by love because of a love for God's people. I want to remind you of two things. I want to do two things, and I promise I'll leave this point. There are times where folk are difficult to love, but we're called to love God's people anyway. But then, in your private moment, I want to ask y'all a personal question. You ain't gonna answer it. I'm not asking you to answer it. Ain't asking you to shout out nothing. But I do wanna put it to you. When you weren't easy to love, who loved you? And here's the truth. I am what I am because somebody loved me. I ain't always been mature. I haven't always had a whole bunch of, no, I can't say that. I was going to say be filled with a whole bunch of Holy Ghost. No, I didn't want to say that. I don't want to confuse nobody. But I want to tell you this. There's been some times in my life where some folk loved me when I wasn't real lovable. And every now and then, we got to remember how blessed we are, and we got to tell the truth. That we didn't always get it because we deserved it or because we were rewarded. No, some of the stuff, some of the doors that we that were open ain't because we deserved it. It's because somebody loved us. There's some grace and second chances that we've received because somebody loved us. There was some encouragement that we received that where people really believed in spite of how we felt, it was because somebody loved us. And so Paul, every time he sees mature people loving God's people, because not all people are mature and not all mature people are lovable either. But when there's love going on, that comes from the heart of God. And so Paul celebrates this labor that you've done. I know it was motivated by love. And so I want to celebrate, I want to encourage you to love God's people. And every day that you've said that it got on my last nerve, I can't do it no more, then I want you to do this last thing. Just love God. If you can't love God's people, love God. And you know what the love of God going to do? It's going to make you. Start. If you can't start with loving people, start with loving God. And God will give you a love for his people. Paul said, I'm celebrating. I celebrate the fact that y'all are working by faith and you're laboring in love. And then Paul says, in this one verse, he says, your endurance inspired by hope. You have this enduring hope. Enduring hope. The context of what's going on in their life is that these are people, most of them weren't Jews, most of them were Gentiles who turned to the Lord. These were worldly people. These were wicked people that heard the gospel and trusted and put their faith in the fact that Jesus died for their sins and God raised them from the dead. But the truth is, when they turned from God, there were people that hated on them. There were people that used power and influence to make things difficult. There were people that caused them to suffer. And some of the suffering came from their own kin. You missed it. When the whole family is heathen, and somebody decides to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, what you end up with, you'll get it, is some light in the midst of darkness. And the one thing heathens don't like is light. Because light exposes sin, and folk who have done this as a lifestyle, they don't want nobody turning on the light. Some of y'all having a hard time figuring out why you don't get invited to parties no more. Folk were hanging out talking about, man, didn't we have a good time last night? And they joning and laughing at each other because of all the stuff they drunk, ate, and smoked. And you the oddball because you didn't get invited. No, you ain't going to get invited. Because light and darkness They don't go together. Matter of fact, you know what I love? You know what I love? What I love about I know some heathens. I know some heathens. I know some heathens. And one thing that'll happen is when you first cross over, they'll invite you just to see. But then once you take your stand, you don't get invited no more. And matter of fact, they'll tell you up front, you can't come. No, you can't come because we gone. Because it's almost as if they respect you doing what you do, and they know what they're doing is wrong, so they don't want to even be a part. I will absolutely never forget where one of my beloved brothers, we were visiting a beloved brother, and back in the day he had a tavern back in the day, and he was telling us the story about this beloved brother who had came up to the place, and he done done all he should have done. And then this brother who owned the place loved him so much, he says, now you gonna take your little narrow. I don't want to see you up in here no more. You don't belong. He says, you got this hope. Because even when things aren't easy, when people turn on you, when it ain't fun no more, and you hang in there, you persevere, because you've got hope. And hope is this confidence that in the end, it's going to turn out like God said. How you know you on track? How you know? Paul said, y'all are working by faith, you're laboring by love, and you've got this hope that makes you hang in there. It's a hope that makes you hang in there. It's a hope that makes you hang in there. There's a difference. My years ago, me and Trudy, when the kids were really little, we bought them this little train. It was Thomas, you know, the little Thomas the Train. And the first year, We got off on Christmas easy for about 3 years. The first year they got the train and the little circle. And with Thomas, all the power is on him. They sit the train on, sit him on the track, and they have to do all the work. They take their little hands and they go around a circle. Second year, we added a few more pieces, but they still had to do all the work. Third year, we added a board for them to sit it on. We got off easy. They had to do all the work. Later on, I moved them up to a Lionel, little Lionel, and the Lionel couldn't run like Thomas. The Lionel had its own ability to move, but there's absolutely three things that has to be required in order for it to move. First of all, it has to stay in contact on the rails. Because if you take it and sit it on the carpet, it ain't going nowhere. It has to be on the rail, absolutely in contact. Matter of fact, the wheels have got to be on the rail. And then when you turn it over on the little toy train, there's a little metal wheel in the middle, and it's got to be touching the middle of the track, because that's where the flow comes from, the electricity comes from. It has to happen. There it is. It has to, first of all, it has to stay in contact. Secondly, it's got to stay in contact, but then there's got to be a current, an electrical current that comes to it, because it does not have the power on its own. It's got to stay on the track. It's got to be in contact, and then there's got to be an electrical current that flows through it. Finally, somebody has got to be in control, because somebody has to be able to control the flow and the direction. They control the flow by turning the switch, and it increases the electricity. And with all of that said, if the train stays in contact, it will move. But the commander also has some other benefits. He can decide how fast it goes. He can decide to make it fast, to make it slow. Matter of fact, he can change directions. He can hit a button and it'll go backwards. It'll go forwards. He can hit another button and it can do something else. Because here's what happens. What happens is, you've got a commander that have laid out, they have laid out the track. The track has already been laid out, and when the train is set on it, the only place for that train to go successfully is to stay on the track. And as long as it stays on the track, in contact with current, under the control of the commander, it absolutely will get to where it's supposed to go. The good God we serve, he didn't make us Thomases, where it's all on us. We got to supply all the power and all of that. No, God's too good to put it all on us. What he does, he has laid out, there's a layout for all of our lives. There's a track that's laid out for all of our lives. And if we stay on it under his command, here's what he'll do. He'll get us to where he's designed for us to go. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. When he lays out the track, it ain't always straight. When God lays out the plan for our lives, you can't always see everything that's around the corner. But you got to trust him. Your hope is that the one who got you started will get you to where he plans for you to be. But it doesn't mean that you're going to see everything along. Hey, sometimes there are curves, but you got to trust the commander. Sometimes there's some hills, but you got to trust the commander. Hey, here's the other one. Sometimes there's this, sometimes in the rail yards, they have this side rail where there's a main line, and then there's a switch that will take the train to the side and will park there, and others will go on by. I close with this. The good God we serve, he has laid out a track for all of our lives, every single one of our lives. It's important for us to stay in contact, to know that we have something on board within us to give us the power that we need to do it. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us what we need so we can do what he's called us to do and get to where he's called us to be. But the problem, one of the struggles is sometimes God will put you on a sideline and let some others pass by. Now, there's two reasons sometimes you got to go to the side. One of the reasons trains will go to the side is because there's some stuff hooked to them that needs to be left at that particular spot. Because there's some stuff God never intended. It didn't intend for it to get all over. So he'll pull you to the side. And there's a thing called decoupling. Let's see if y'all got it. Let me hear you say decouple. Uh-huh. That means that there's that along in the line of trains, there's some stuff every now and then that they have reached their destination. And you got to decouple. Now you're going further, but that tanker that's been hanging on is going to get left. You got it? Here's the other struggle. In the meantime, it's going to seem like every other train. And you're wondering, when is the commander going to put me back on the main rail? You got to trust him now. One of my favorite movies is Unstoppable at Denzel. I tell you, that's a good movie because there was a train at 777 train. He got loose without a commander, and he was on a main line going on the wrong direction, and other trains were coming its way. And I'm telling you, he caused all kind of havoc, killed some folk, all kind of stuff went on because you had this train that was on the main line going in the wrong direction. There was some other folk coming, and they radioed to him. They said, hey, listen, we need you to pull over. And at first, they were kind of offering some resistance. Well, I got to pull over. Just pull over as soon as you can. Pull over. Well, I got to pull. Just pull over because there's something coming your way. And if you don't pull over, and here's the joy. You can trust that the God we serve, I'm so thankful that he sits high and he sees everything. Now, he done laid out some stuff, but Satan, the old dirty dog, he's always moving ahead, trying to plot stuff and plan stuff to derail our destiny. But the good news is we got a God who's absolutely in control. And you got to trust that if he asks you to pull over, just pull over. Just pull over. If he asks you to decouple, decouple. Just trust him, because ultimately he's going to get you where he wants you to be. When we travel, everybody knows, when you travel from Evansville, if you go in any place other than Atlanta, Dallas, Chicago, Detroit, if you go in any place other than that, you're going to have a layover. And when you come in from Evansville, you ain't fussing when you have a layover, because all a layover is, it's a pause until you continue your journey. you're not fussing because Chicago wasn't your destiny. Dallas may not have been your destiny. Atlanta may not have been your destiny, but you'll have a layover because you know another plane's coming. And at the appointed time, you're going to get on board and you'll move on to the place God has for you to go. I'm through. I'm just trying to help you to understand that there's something worthy of celebrating. Where Paul says, I'm celebrating the fact that y'all are operating by faith. And y'all, if we're going to be all that God wants us to be, we're going to have to work by faith. We're not going to be able to see everything. But if you work by faith, God will give you the strength. He's going to provide. He's going to bring everything that we need. We got to work by faith and labor by love. We got to love God's people, and we got to love God. We got to do it. We got to love God's people, and we got to love God. And we got to hang in there, because hope says that God's working. Hope says that even when it's difficult, I'm going to hang in there and trust God. Because I believe that God has laid out some things for you, and God's laid out some things for me. And if I just stay on the track, if I just stay in contact, if I just let the Spirit flow, if I just yield to what His command tells me to do, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard what God has in store for those that stay on track. And your blessing may not come when you expect it, but know that it's absolutely, did I say absolutely? It's on the way. It is on the way. Somebody looking at me right now.